Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this overcast, windy, somewhat cool Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. A couple of things to talk about today, but let me start by clearly and obviously troubling again situation. In the country, I imagine that you, like me, or so many others, have heard of the triple shooting in Yellow Elder and the resulting double homicide. But I don't know if you, like me, saw some video of two incidences, which some suggest may be connected. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Let's just say they're isolated incidences, right? One of which involved a young man, not so big person, being beaten up by two other young men who were clearly bigger than that person. And I mean, it's a brutal beating took place. And so then there's another video of two young men outside, three actually outside, one on a wall sitting down, the other two standing up around a car. A vehicle pulls up. Two men get out of the car, but they look like men. Start shooting, chasing guys and shooting. And quite frankly, could have been any violent movie scene I have seen over the years. And I said to one of my friends, I said to two of my friends, I said, just like all the movies. To which he responded, and he's police. Yeah, right. These fellas, that's what they're doing. They're watching TV and playing it out. And just like that, not only two men dead, one injured, but two, possibly more men participants in double murder. I mean, this is not unheard of in the country. We've even heard of multiple more killings in times past. But I mean, just that it is happening, that it continues to happen, I mean, it's stunning, shocking, surprising. No, it's stunning. It's that we have arrived at a place where not the vast majority, not even close to the vast majority, thank Almighty God for that, not the vast majority, not even close. But we have arrived at a place where there are a sufficient number of men, particularly young men, particularly young Black men, particularly young Black men who live in New Providence, are prepared to take a life. Now, just cold-bloodedly decide to kill? Doesn't seem to be the circumstance. We know from the police that a great number of these murders are revenge killings or gang-related or some other things. So these are not random acts of violence being visited on just anybody. So that's not true. But still, though. So the lesson, if there are lessons, I don't know if there are lessons, but hey, there are some. I remember when I was growing up, and my friends who are listening will know this. You used to have people who they always thought that they were bigger and badder than everybody else. You remember that? And they would have no gumption about going off on you verbally or going off on somebody physically. They have no gumption about it. They walked around and they really acted like they were larger than them. I'll never forget that some of the guys I knew who were themselves not easy. They'd say, but listen, no matter how big and bad you are, there's probably always someone who believes that they're bigger than or bigger and badder. Or there's someone who, if pushed far enough, is prepared to take you out. Never forgot that. And unfortunately, we do have a sufficiency of people who, for whatever reason, are prepared to take lives. They're prepared. This is as old as humanity. Remember? Cain killed Abel. But that's the reality of it. And so when decisions are made to deal with an offense. So somebody bump into you, somebody say something to you, somebody eye your girl, somebody, you know, offend you, etc. You make up your mind more often than not out of emotionalism. Because to be honest, more often than not, when you see folk triggered that way, that's an emotional trigger born not of reasoning. Born not of the highest instinct of a rational man, but born of an animalistic instinct to fight back. Just remember that it doesn't end with what might even appear to be your victory, your gross victory. Because somebody is always out there. Always out there. Everybody got family, everybody got friends, everybody got, you know, people who care about them, who are interested in them, who may have their back and so forth. and people don't want to see their people hurt. And so we get this vicious cycle that comes about. But again, he knew, you know. If you go and read Western books, some of them are historical in nature, you will see that there are families who have had generations of warfare between them, between the Hatfields and the McCoys. Born of an incident years ago that probably nobody could recall what the incident was. But they know, in quote, there's bad blood between us. And that's where we are. We got this situation, and it looks, you know, not everybody's going to delve into the details of it. The police's job is to investigate, to find out what happens. If they bring people to, and they almost always do, if they bring people to, and they almost always do. So the odds of not being caught for doing something doesn't seem to factor in the heads of some of the folk who do the things, because the odds are you are going to get caught. So when you're brought before the courts, they may find out what the details were and so forth and so forth. But there are lots of people looking on, both within the country and from without the country, who are looking on, shit and all that detail. They won't get those details. All they know is that violent place called the Bahamas. Look at them. Look what they're doing. Of course, they might have violence in their own country, but they don't look at you that way. Of course, they don't depend on you to come to them. You depend on them to come to you. And you got your kids and your looking at this whole scenario, man, wondering why. Who wants to be near that? And that's where we are. Tragic. And condolences to all the young man who's beaten, the young man who killed, the one who's shot and injured, the family who have to deal with, the family who may, who've been participants in that. I mean, just tragedy all around. Tragedy for us, the whole country. Why? Think about it for a minute. Think about it. Why? Think about it for a minute. Think real hard about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Think about why. Why? I mean, like, this level of violence. Think about it for a moment. Why? Why? You know, I was listening to a YouTube video where a historian was talking to someone from Morning Joe, and he was saying something that was akin to a conversation I was having with one of my sons. He was saying, you know, many times the violence we see perpetrated in our world is not based on anything meaningful, you know. It's not based on an effort to save lives. It's not based on an effort to protect our territory. It's not based on an effort to advance some big cause. He says it's based on some story someone has told that has created conflicts, because somebody else has told a different story, and what the fighting and the killing is over a story. Story. Think about it. Were we saving lives? Were we protecting massive property? Were we guarding some ancient? No. But in the heads of the people participating in it, there's a story maybe of heroism, of trying to defend or trying to protect or trying to avenge or avenge some wrong. I mean, but it's a story. It's not the massive thing in their heads, though. It's noble enough. And so when people go out there and do things to people, why, you don't know the story you're creating in somebody else's head that impels them, drives them, moves them to do something. Stack says, great show as usual. Mr. Lang always tell people nothing a man could say to offend another man than a woman did not say before. So how could a man be offended by another man? Well, the offense can come, but the offense comes because of the stories we tell ourselves about the event or the incident or the words. We have to tell. So for instance, right? If somebody say, Bishop Abiu Lang, you're a stupid idiot. Okay. So those are words they spoke. Those are just words they spoke. Now, how I react to those words depends on the story I tell myself about those words. Stories like, no man should call me stupid and get away with it. No man should try to belittle me in that way and get away with it. That's the story I have to tell myself. Otherwise, I could tell myself another story where here is a man using words probably more true about himself than they are about me. And I therefore should not even react to that because in truth, those words did nothing to me. Or, you know what? I may be stupid. That man actually is telling the truth. And I better go away and try to make myself less stupid or unstupid. But it depends on the story I tell myself. And that's what we are walking around all day telling ourselves story. Who don't like me? Who hate me? Who? They just FNMs. They just PLPs. They're telling ourselves stories all day long. That's my man and I will die and live for him. That's my woman and I will die. And telling ourselves stories all day long. They may have nothing to do with the actual truth on planet Earth. But it's our story. And we have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And now our behavior follows the story. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Balang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink, or cool it down with the new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Child, Fidelity can on this year with their new festive giveaway. You could win cash, an iPhone 15, get a bill paid off, PS5, all kind of things. Apply for a loan or an ASUS savings account, and you could win. Try our call them now. Yeah? 356-7764.
Hello?
Hey, girl. What you saying? I just was calling to check up on you.
Hey, girl. Everything fine, but I just
can't talk right now. I gotta go to the clinic.
The clinic? Everything okay with you?
Yeah, girl. Everything fine with me. I just trying to get this little one ready because he has an appointment for his childhood vaccination.
Well, Logan's 6 years old. I haven't taken him for his last vaccine
appointment since before
the pandemic.
Did you know that the childhood vaccinations
protect these little ones from preventable diseases like polio,
rubella, measles, and mumps? So these vaccinations for the little ones is the best we could do for them.
I'm gonna make that appointment for him because I need him to get up to date with all of his vaccines.
Let me let you go, but call me back when you come back home.
Mommy, I need to go get my vaccines.
This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Wellness, PAHO, WHO, and the Canadian government.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. We've been talking about the tragic triple shooting, double murder taking place in Yellow Elder. This text says, yes, Z, we're in sad, a sad state of affairs regarding our young men. Let me say this to you. I do not agree, actually, that we are in a sad state of affairs with our young men. I do not agree with that to this extent. The vast majority of our young men will not and have not participated in any such thing. The vast majority. But I do agree with you that there is a number of our young men who are clearly prepared to use violence either to defend themselves or to get what they want or to avenge their loved ones or colleagues or what have you. And that willingness is a sad state of affair. And it has not, again, for some context and perspective, this is not new in humanity, right? But nonetheless, it is a sad state of affairs and has always been that this willingness to spill blood is a tragic reality of our social life. But I have to be very, very happy on planet Earth. I have to be that you can walk around the Bahamas and engage, if you engage 100 young men, not 98 of them, sorry, would not be among those you could see yourself getting shot or killed from. Everybody on planet Earth has the potential for violence. Everybody. Me, you, everyone. But by force of culture, by force of upbringing, by force of ideology, by force of indoctrination, by force of fate, and maybe even in some circumstances, by force of fate, we are not inclined to do so, and we don't put ourselves in positions to do so. And that is the reality of our country, and I have to be grateful and thankful for that. And so I never run around believing my country is doomed, my young men are doomed in the Bahamas. I never believe that, because the numbers simply do not bear that out. And if the opposite were in fact the case, you and I would not be living here. I would not be living in this country. I can promise you that. If the opposite were the case, where the vast majority of young men crying toward excessive violence and violence like that. So let's keep it in context, keep it in perspective, so that we call it as it is. A lot of parents, a lot of guardians, our education system, our overall cultural frame has made of many, 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 most of us a civil people. Most of us a civil people. And you know, you see some of these young men who may go out there shooting, killing people or what have you. I mean, if you think about it, right? Think about it. They are not out there just loosely doing this. Think about that, right? And generally speaking, if you met some of them, you wouldn't even know it was them, or you wouldn't even know it was them plus capable of any such thing. You wouldn't know it. Because even in situations outside of the ones that may have triggered their anger, their triggered their rage, they are civil, they are mannerly, they are courteous. Watch them, many of them accused, many of them who are convicted, you go and interact with them. I can tell you, very, very affable in many instances, capable of the greatest and highest level of respect and regard for other people. But in the instances that triggered their ire, they have been willing to do the do. That's why people used to say, you know, y'all stop pushing people, man, because you ain't know who you're pushing, right? It's no justification for violence, but I'm just saying, you know, there's no such thing on she looked like a murderer, he looked like a murderer, and so forth. You might have a story you told yourself, and I told myself about what a murderer looks like. But generally speaking, if you can tell them off the bat, all these folk who over the world, serial killers and all them kind of stuff, you would think it's them. Why? They don't fit the bill. At least not the story you and I may have told ourselves. Stack says, great show. Great show again, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, if you saw the footage of the way those boys made certain they killed those other men, it would tear you apart. Well, I did see the video. I did see it. It's so hurtful to see the amount of rage displayed in those senseless killing. We have to keep praying for our country, in particular, our young men and boys. Keep up the awesome work. Thank you. We have to pray for, yeah, we have to pray. And we have to work, and we have to help, and we have to encourage. You know, we gotta do some stuff ourselves. I saw a video similar in the United States where I remember a fellow went to his neighbor complaining about the noise upstairs, and then the two neighbors came outside and approached him. And you saw, if you saw that video, you see what happened after that. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z-Live.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Man, war. War is what's happening. That's how I look. But I didn't see that video with the beating, but I see the yellow video. And you said something earlier when you first start your show. You say, let's see if any lessons learned from this or any lesson. Yes, man, a lot of lessons come from this. Because I like to say this to the young man with coming up in the Bahamas and out there on the road and on the streets. There ain't a lot of foolishness. But then they ain't listening to your show. The fellas that were supposed to hear this, they probably ain't gonna hear this because they ain't listening to no, they ain't that smart to listen to no talk show. But let me say this. On the blocks, like when I come up on the, when I go up on the blocks and when I come up on the blocks, you had fellas them running on, but you never leave your beeper. You always be traveling with your ratchet. I'd rather get catch with it than to get catch without it. Well, let me, the young man, go take a look at that video then. Well, the fella had his gun on him and then laying up in the morgue this morning with a toe tag on him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so the y'all out there who believe, like, y'all get told, or y'all go, and you know, there's, it looked like there's expecting retaliation because someone had to be recording the video, and that's a phone. Someone recording it from. Yeah, you see them looking. You see them see the car going up the road and turning around, coming. The car pull over on this side of the road. You on V-Toten long gun and you running. You breaking up running with that. But luckily, you do a little spin around there when you run around the front of that truck and you shoot one of them. You hit one of them back, one of them in the black hoodie. That's why he run back to the car dead quick. That's what he the one with break with the hospital last night. And then the next one, run over the top of one, put more shots in him and take his gun. And then run back in the car. So that's the message what I'm sending y'all young men would come up there who believe y'all will be toting around and talking foolishness, but y'all ain't leaving y'all beeper and y'all, all this stuff, y'all ratchet on y'all and things like that. You can have it on you and you can still dead. You can still die. I mean, at least y'all, they said who need to hear this ain't listening to the talk show. So if you get out there, you're young and you'll be toting up gun and believe you're going to be shooting up in retaliation, because a lot of these are retaliation killing. Because you see, they was looking. They was prepared. You know, but they get catch what they punched on. So toast your hand down in your waist and think, hey, amen. That's you say, put these guns down and stop doing foolishness, man. Put these guns down.
Let me ask you a question. Let me a couple of things here. You know, you're right. Many of them might not be listening, but you know, they got people who listening who know that some of the things they're involved in. Maybe they tell them, right? But the second thing is, you know, when I was in Washington, D.C., I mentioned this before. When I was in Washington, D.C. as a diplomat, they had the Secret Service come in to give us a security briefing. And some of the people who attended, the diplomats who attended this meeting were asking, should we get a gun? And you know what the Secret Service man said? He said, to be honest with you, no, you should not. He says, why? He says, because the truth of the matter is, if somebody is coming for you, they have the element of surprise. And no matter if you have a gun, except you are an expert like we are, your chances of your surviving that attack is less with a gun than without it.
We see that yesterday evening. Yes, you're right.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they said to us.
Because
you're right. Because if you look at the video, the fella take it out, cork it, they looking at the car still, and the car still, and he still got toe tag on this morning. And I agree with what you say, Ailey, you know. You talk to some of these fellas, them, and they're like, I say that on a different talk show and things. And the fun of these fellas' parents and their grammy and things, they ain't care none of these things. They ain't care none of the fun of their parents shooting up people and things and care all like that. They ain't care none of that. Because even if you remember one scene, what happened a couple of years ago, hold on, Montague, where one expedition was shooting up at the police and the police shoot up the tire. That's a Anglican pastor's son. He died now. But, you know, the pastor chilling thing, you know, the pastor, I mean, grow them up to be like that. Be toting around and shooting up people.
No.
So you're right about
acting,
that, too.
They weren't acting like that around the pastor.
Yeah, they don't act like that at home. They, when they get out among their friends and they think, then they just keep on bad like that. But, yeah, the most, like I say, on the streets, the most people who do, like the young men or our parents and like coming up, they don't smoke, they don't drink. And they come from wealthy people and wealthy family. Who do all the foolishness? Most of them, at least 50-50 or so. So to the young men out there, put these guns down and change your life and stop this tit for tat thing. And if you were here, the stupidness where they shooting up one another over and things, you would drop down dead.
But that's what I was saying, bro. It ain't over. No, you ain't trying to save a boogie load of lives. You ain't trying to protect no massive property. You're not trying to advance no massive cause.
Right. You know, so I looking at now, I looking at, man, like us, we in our middle 50s, Chicago. Man, look, these fellas, them here making 24, 25 and things. But if they make 30, they do good. They do good if they make 30. They check the Thursday paper and see how much under 30 and that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate,
man,
Chicago,
man. We got to pray, man. We got to pray hard. And that's the, because then, like, they getting, especially the younger set coming in, getting up with these bad company, they're influencing them. I know some of the young fellas, like, who's 17, 18? Like, when I 17, when I come out of school, the first thing they want is a car, a vehicle. The first thing they want is a gun. Tool. They don't know. They don't sell any tool. They want a tool. Well, I won't get my tool, but anything. That's what they want me to be, to walk out all the time.
No, but think about this, though. Think about this. Let's be real, though. When you and I were younger, we were growing up, we had an interest in making sure we were seen by the older boys as being young men. Like we was cool. True or not true?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Now, back in those days, to do that, you had to go on the basketball court and show yourself something more. Maybe you're getting a little fist fight with somebody. These days, fellas have the same ambition, but do it them saying, but if you want to show me you somebody, you got to put one in somebody.
Right. Right. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Oh, so, if someone fooled you or something, it used to be brothers. I remember back in the 80s, the SC and things, it used to be brothers, man, your big brother. You know, someone when you run them, get your big brother, and then you all fess it out, and then everything going. That's go. You go get 2 years. You can tell them 5, 6 brothers used to be there. You used to fool that family. You know, so
exactly.
Like I remember the Cowbell brothers and things of soldier with this, they get home and say, hey, but every far party thing you go with, they fighting and they beating up one another. One day brother look, you're killing all from fighting. But nowadays, now they know your brother and things, they're like, boy, they ain't coming back, man, spraying up this whole party. Look here. Bunch of foolishness, man. We gotta pray, Chicago. We gotta pray. Let me let someone else get it.
I appreciate you calling, man.
All right, thanks, man. So thanks for letting me share too.
Yeah, man, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
They come in! Dunkin' celebrates the 2023 holiday season as the title sponsor of Junkanoo Jingle to Bay 5K. It goes down Saturday, December 16th, starting at 6 a.m. right at Araki. Bring in the Yuletide with the Christmas race of the season in downtown Nassau. Dress in your best Santa suit, be it wool, cotton, linen, polyester, or even lingerie. Then let's walk, run, roll, and rush to Junkanoo Music straight to Bay Street. Form a team and register your crew. Junkanoo Jingle the Bay 5K is proudly sponsored by Tonkin, Oak Tree, IL Cares, Guardian Radio, The Walk-In Clinic, Radio House, and the Bahamas Humane Society. Register today by logging on to fourseasonsracemanagement.com.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, all ever overcast and somewhat disturbing, at least events of that we're talking about in Thursday. So let me tell you something that might at first seem weird to you, right? But it isn't so weird. So I've watched a couple of period-based series lately, the Vikings being one of them, and, you know, it tells the story, some of it fictional, but a lot of it with some historic background, the story of the Vikings and how they eventually came to attack England, and how that the raids on England played itself out, and how the Saxons would eventually overcome them, and eventually the Vikings would settle in some of the territories of England, and so forth and so forth. Another one would be Marco Polo, which would be the story of Kublai Khan and his historic conquering of lands there in the Asian region, and so forth. And then I saw one you might be interested in. This is one about the pirates of the Caribbean. And it, you know, Nassau features prominently in that series. It's on Netflix now. In any event, I'm watching these series, right? And here's what I notice. There's always some bad boy or bad men in it. Very, very strong, courageous, willing to cut your head off, willing to take your kind of people, right? But now, notwithstanding their violence is not cute or cool, the violence, the image that they have, though, is like of this invincible, kind of courageous, heroic, and they got an image that to the women and to the men is either sexy or appealing. Because they are the ones, for some reason, their willingness to cross boundaries, their willingness to run into the fire, their willingness to go right into the fight and go toe-to-toe with the blade swingers and whatever, like, for some reason, this looks appealing, attractive,
attractive, sexy. The folks, let me tell you something. Don't let nobody fool you. Some of that going on right now in the Bahamas. You a gun wielder. You ain't care about nothing. You ain't thinking about nobody, et cetera, et cetera. You look sexy. You look cute. You look cool to some people. Do you know what is never sexy, never cool? The end to which they ultimately come. We have a call on the line. Go ahead. Caller, we're listening to you.
I'm pleasant. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's up?
And I hope your family is doing well. You know, Mr. Malang, I grew up in the times. I graduated from the Governor High in 1970, June. But I grew up in the times in this country where we had no jitneys to pick us up and drop us to school. We walked to and from school. Wherever they send you to go to school, you walk from home and you walk to school. And you walk back home. Maybe you might catch a ride if you're walking, you hike a little ride. But if you stand, I know one morning, we stand on the corner of the man stop, we run to the truck. When we run to the truck, he pull off, and then he stop again. He say, you know, if y'all was walking, I'd give you a ride. But y'all standing like y'all ain't going over. I say, y'all don't need no ride. We go to school. But I say that to say this. You know, I know people that were on the licensing board for different things, like bars and stuff like that. And I was in a conversation with one of those guys from back in my era, and he told me, there used to be a law around here about where bars could be. No bar was supposed to be maybe been 100 to 50 yards, somewhere far from a church or a school. That was the law of the land. Now, I've seen the proliferation of these bars, Mr. Lang. I don't know if you drive around the corner. I know you grew up in Freeport and things. But through every little corner now, I don't know who's giving out these licenses and what they're getting from the license. But there's a Chinese bar, restaurant, and clothing store in one building through nearly every little corner around here over the hills. Right as you come down Blue Hill Road, right across from Yellow Hill, the primary school, it's a primary school, there's a Chinese restaurant and bar.
Yeah,
and I go in there sometimes.
Sparky.
Just listen to me for a second. I go in there. I know he has the right to have it. But I go in there sometimes, Mr. Lang, and women bring their little children in uniforms in the bar to buy Chinese food, but also sell the liquor in the bar. Right across the road from Yellow Road now. I understand people got the right to apply for license, get license. But if there's a law to say it ain't supposed to be across the road from a school, and you shouldn't be walking in a bar with a little kindergarten child with a uniform on to buy food or to buy a lick as a felon. And these things are happening in the country.
I got you.
And children are growing up being taken into bars by their mothers to buy a lick or a Guinness. It's starting from home. Have a good day.
This text says, Mr. Lang, a gun changes people. When people have a gun, sometimes they react differently opposed to if they did not have a gun. I want to ask you a question. Do you think the warrior DNA exists? I have no idea. I have no idea. Would that be a chain that would compel people to be physically violent like warriors? I don't know. I don't know for real. So also, women like bad men. Some women love a menace to society. High falls with high falls. Anyway, that's hope and work and pray for the best and for better. So let me change subject a little bit. So y'all saw the press conference between Mr. Ingram and Dr. Minnis when Dr. Minnis was presenting his new book to Mr. Ingram. Mr. Ingram, something else. In the press conference, Mr. Ingram was asked, how was your relationship with Dr. Minnis? Mr. Ingram said, well, before he was prime minister, we used to go to lunch. We used to hang out and talk. He said, but after being prime minister, he was distant.
that man is so dry eyed. Then think about this now. I don't think there's anybody in this country who is aware who does not know that Dr. Minnis desires to return as leader of the Free National Movement. And I believe many people know that Desmond Bannister's effort, as well as the effort of others, because some people have actually said it, has been toward trying to get Dr. Minnis back in as leader. What is interesting to me, let me say this while I'm at it, was that Mr. Bannister was Deputy Prime Minister. And in the course of being Deputy Prime Minister, Dr. Minnis and them made no effort to call a convention so maybe he could become Deputy Leader of the FNL. Not one time. But he had the power to do it. Right? Anyway, so everybody knows that Dr. Minnis has this ambition and has others who are working with him. Again, I say no problem with that. So don't get vexed with me. I have no difficulty with Dr. Minnis's ambition to return as leader. Having that ambition, that's anybody's right, period. Now, Mr. Ingram said, well, there's no urgent need for no convention. The convention is due by November, October, and so forth and so forth. And besides, the people who want a convention only want it because they want to challenge Mr. Pintat's leadership. Dr. Minnis standing right. All that came in my head was, you know those people who be playing hide and seek? And like they covering their face and their eyes and they think that because they can't see you, you can't see. Let me tell you something, Hubert Alexander Ingram, dry eye. I don't know if you saw it, but I found it most intriguing. Anyway, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 300. Call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says it was those, in quote, rebels for me. And the chief rebel was right next to Ingram presenting his book on the power of determination, irony to the ninth degree. Yeah, it was interesting. Very interesting. But I don't think it's ironic for, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I don't think it's ironic for Dr. Minister to write a book on determination, because I think he's demonstrated that. He's demonstrated determination, what it looks like. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The three men incident happened at 4 p.m. Are you aware that a second incident occurred 4 hours later in Pinewood Gardens where two men were also shot? Actually, no. I was not aware. No. This text says, Mr. Lang, I just like how your audience only look at black young men. However, based on my experience, some mothers disrespect the fathers and further cloak their sons by hiding guns in their home and accepting the money. I don't understand this. How you like how my audience only look at black young men? What is it that you want them to do? The vast majority of incidences that we have in this country involving shootings are by young black men. What would you want people to do? Ignore the reality? I really don't understand the first part of your text at all. This text is, one subject we don't talk about is this, then is that the amount of girls having an abortion. Murder is murder. Well, who knows how many girls are having abortions in the Bahamas? Please tell me what the statistics is and tell me where you get the statistics from. Why would we talk about something that we have so little information about? Because in this country, abortion is illegal, because as you say, it's regarded as murder for sure. But how would we know? How do you know how many abortions are happening in the Bahamas? We know the murders. They get reported every day. I don't understand the thinking sometimes that some of you have. You want people to talk about something that isn't advertised, isn't promoted, isn't publicized, isn't communicated? You think women are going around having abortions and then telling somebody and telling the world? Come on, man. Be reasonable. That makes no sense to me. So, Mr. Lang, we have to get these youngsters back in Sunday school. The church must become more vocal and aggressive with this. These young boys, 19, 20, had no one to teach them the fundamentals of the faith. Therefore, we are reaping the results of this neglect. You think so? You really think that they don't know that God exists? They don't believe that God exists and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You really believe that? Based on what? If you see the University of the Bahamas' survey of the people who are in Fox Hill Prison and what their beliefs are, the vast majority of them are people who believe the gospel. The vast majority of them identify with some church denomination or the other. The vast majority. So I'm not sure about that. I encourage going to Sunday school and the like, but I don't think that is what is going to necessarily do it. Keen didn't have to go to Sunday school. He was having conversations with God himself, and he still turned around and killed his brother. His text says, good day. I'm a bit upset that you didn't read my Christmas list yesterday. Really? So number 10 on my list is to ask the Honorable MP for Yamacraw to push this issue of youth violence and see what solutions they can come up with. I don't know. Maybe I didn't see your list. I'm sorry. This text says, Mr. Ingram is a political juggernaut and knows that Minnis needs his support to get back in. So Ingram can say whatever he wants. And I guess his era ain't over either. Laugh. Say, Lang, Doc, and Papa personal friends for over 50 years. And what's wrong with running again? Papa came back. Perry came back. So what you talking about, Doc? ain't no puppet, you know this, catch yourself, bro. First of all, if there's anybody that need to catch themselves, it's you. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. I said that Dr. Menace has every right to seek to run again. Every right. Did you miss that? In your infatuation with Dr. Menace, did you miss that? What did I do other than comment on what I saw in the press? Oh, but your feelings are hurt. That's what it is. Eh? Oh, I see. Man, I can't stop your candidate from running. And I can't stop him from winning. That's your job. But you think you will help yourself trying to come down on me? Okay. Keep it up. Y'all got bigger problems than me. Trust me on that. I honestly sometimes wonder what people listen to. Really, really honestly. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right. Yes, we missed them. This text says, Lang, do you think it's time for government to carry out capital punishment? Well, it's not a question of time for government to do so. The government can carry out capital punishment when the court authorizes it. That's the only way. And that's very important for you all to understand. The government can't just pick up and decide to kill nobody. The government can only do it when the courts authorize it and within the parameters that it's authorized. So you did say Minister have every right to run, but the general public says otherwise. See, there you go. But Minister's crony, the one who texted in just now, listened and heard something else because he or she or they so upset. They don't know, they don't want to listen anymore with ears to hear. They just want to listen for what they want to hear. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Nang. After the years of broken relationship between Mr. Minish and Mr. Ingram. By the way, for that crony who says Mr. Ingram and Dr. Minish are friends, I agree with you. But I once told Mr. Ingram myself, based on the treatment I saw of him, I said, boy, if I had friends like that, if I had friends like that, it wouldn't be my friends. Now, that's me. Talking about they friends. Yeah, they're good friends. But a good friend tell the other friend, yeah, but when he became prime minister, he dissed me. You think a good friend will do that? I have two of my best friends on planet Earth. When I was a cabinet minister, ask them what I used to do when I came home. You think I used to diss them? No, I never said diss them. I used to go looking for them in the gym, wherever they were. And I was the cabinet minister. Y'all just talk nonsense because some of y'all don't think. People listening. Say, good afternoon, Mr. Nang. After the years of broken relationship between Mr. Minnis and Mr. Ingram, what do you think the reasoning of Mr. Minnis wanting to appear with Mr. Ingram? Was it the book promotion? Well, think about it. Dr. Minnis said it himself. Dr. Minnis said, so, you know, sometimes when you are in a position, you have to do things and blah, 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 blah. But when you got challenged, listen to the press conference. He said, when you are challenged, you go back to your mentor. Go back to your bio, must be so laughing. I was like, life is something. This text says, I didn't get the impression that Mr. Ingram was looking for Minnis' friendship. Okay. I didn't gather. I think he did. I think he was being courteous. You know, a former prime minister, maybe a friend to friend, being courteous, but I didn't come across as very, it did, well, anyway, it was what it was. Says Mr. Lang, your very own station reports the cases of abortion. You asked where I get the data from. It's from your station. This station? So my point was that it's not discussed when reported in the same manner, no matter the frequency. You're confused because your mind is closed sometimes. Really? Really? Guardian, you report on abortions that take place in the Bahamas and no one was arrested? Now, we know of an incident where a doctor was accused of that. That was one reporting. But that matter is before the courts. And I think you might be aware of something where when the matter goes before the courts, we can't comment on it, right? You are aware of that, eh? No, I'm not the one whose mind is closed. You're the one whose mind is closed. You're the one. Because you're doggedly believing a story you told yourself that is not true. And now you want to tell an untruth on The Guardian. The Guardian reports the data on abortions? Madam Candia Dames and others, can you all help me with that, please? The Guardian does this? That'll be a first for me. Please help me. I could be dead wrong. I didn't know you used to report on data on abortions. It's Texas. I know of two, maybe a few more being reported by The Guardian, but they were charged, right? That was they were reporting the cases, right? But they were charged. They killed me laughing. He didn't say how much was reported. I mean, that's just absolute nonsense. That person is speaking of nonsense. Nobody in the Bahamas reports data on abortion because we don't know how much happens in the Bahamas. It could be a whole lot. Nobody knows. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are quite a number, but nobody knows. And nobody talks about it, right? How? Because nobody says there's 100 abortions this year, 200 abortions this year. Otherwise, those would be included in the homicide rates of the country, but might they not? But then when you all get embarrassed by your nonsense, you want to turn the story into me. Okay, keep that up. Keep that up. This text says, say abortion, your station, suck my teeth. Yeah, I don't know. That person must have a special Guardian radio they just listen to. Say that crony is emotionally constipated. So trying to help the text here, logical fallacy. boy. You know, that's why people always say, you know, don't get emotional, because when you do, sometimes your reasoning goes out the window, you know. I you know, the law of the Bahamas is very clear that abortion is illegal. And therefore, if you are caught committing an abortion or having an abortion, there is cause for you to be charged before the courts of the Bahamas. Anyways, let me leave that alone for the moment and say something. So in The Guardian, it is reported that the Minister of Public, the Minister of Works and Utilities says that they will do in the next 2.5 years $98 million, almost $100 million worth of roadworks in New Providence. And then he said there will also be some work done in the Family Islands. I am not suggesting that this show had anything to do with that announcement, but that was some great news, right? For people who were talking about the road situation in Grandma. Remember I said, in New Providence, remember I said how, you know, that's like low-hanging fruit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so lo and behold, the minister comes out, he says $100 million of roadworks will be done in New Providence. Now, if you didn't know better, you would think that's new news. If you didn't know better. But you could know better. Let me tell you why you could know better. If you go to the government's budget, capital budget this fiscal year, 2023-2024, you will see that under road repair and maintenance, there is an allocation of $20 million today. Today, right? So that's $20 million. In the same item for next year, the proposal is $28 million, so that's $48 million. And then for the same period, for the same item the following year, so that's like 3 years in, That's $28.8 million. So that's 48, 68, 76 million dollars in proposed road works on maintenance and repair over the next 3 years. But he said 2.5 years. So if you slide that in half, let's say that's $65 million. But if you go to the line item in the works and utilities budget, you then see that New Providence Roadworks has an allocation this year of $11.7 million. So you add that to the 65, that's $75 million. For the next year, about $12 million. So if you add that to the 76, that's $87 or $88 million. And then if you go to the following year, which is $12.2 million, and add that, you get your almost $100 million. So the Minister of Works isn't announcing some newfound monies for road works over the next 3 years. He's announcing what has been allocated in this year's budget and what is recommended for the next year budget and the year after that, all total $100 million. Okay, now, here is what is curious for me, though. So you have this $20 million this year, $20 million next year, $20 million the year before. Then you have this $11 million for New Providence this year, $12 million for the following year, and $12 million. Let me tell you something. If you go back to the budgets for those same items, you will see that we have spent $12 million, $11 million, $19 million, year on year before. So let me ask you a question. How do you spend the same amount of money for 3 years before, have the problem you have now, and if you spend the same amount of money for the next 3 years, your problem will be resolved? Could it be that you had that many problems? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Like, in the last 3 years, according to the budget, we may have spent almost the same sum of money on road works, maintenance, repairs, and so forth and so forth. And we still have the problem we have. This is Nassau now. This is New Providence, 20 by 7. And now we propose to spend another $100 million. Is that going to make a difference different from what was made in the last 3 years? I've spent substantial, end quote. I mean, this, at least this is what the budget says was spent and is proposed to be spent on roadworks. See, here is the challenge, I think, confronting the Ministry of Works and Utilities and the government. Spending that money so the difference is visible and experiential. Because announcing that money is not an announcement of any new allocation. It's not. It's spending the money where people get to say, I see the difference. Now, there are some areas in New Providence where the difference can be seen. So people who say there's no difference, that's not true. If you look at Village Road now, I think, you know, you can see some difference. And you can go to other parts and places where people can clearly see that their roads have been paved. And so you can't really be unfair. But the idea is now that you're going to lay out and have laid out this monies, planned layout. So don't say the government can't have a knee-jerk reaction and just decided to find this money. That's not true. The government actually planned out this expenditure over the next 3 years, and you could see it in the budget today. The idea has to be that when it's done, is to be able to actually have people say, wow, you remember them potholes that was down there in that area and down there in the other area? Boy, those are gone now. Remember that bad road on this corner, that corner? And then similarly in the Family Islands, to be able to help people, and listen to me, doing that is just good politics. It'll be good politics. I mean, I can't see how it hurts you to have people be able to rave about the better experience that they are having with their movement on the roads in the Bahamas. And that to me is a low-hanging fruit. Now, Where does it get tricky for the government? Having $98 million budgeted and having $98 million in cash found and secured, that's a different, those are two different stories. And we'll have to see whether or not that works out that way. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
The lady run into me, MasterCard.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. The MPs really listen to your show because last week I said the government ain't paving no roads and how bad the roads are. Now they already paving the road before you reach Coral Harbor. Keep up the good work. I can't say they're doing it because of that, but you never know. Mr. Lang, could you pop on for the show for 1 hour as a guest? That's a good Christmas gift for the public. Zinger man trying to come on the show, man. I don't know. We'll see. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Ray, right here, man. What's up?
I'm all right, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, just now you were talking, like, I called a comment about what you were talking about when you first came out, the violence thing.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah, but just now you were talking about some funds and spending and different stuff like that, right, by the government, right?
Right, the wrong ones,
yeah. And I mean, you know, the questions you were asking, Mr. Lang, I'm certain that there are many of us who would like to know the answers to that also.
Mm-hmm.
But and what I was thinking about, especially when I saw the two former prime ministers, right, is how individuals will will go into government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they run and they go into government on the basis that they care about the people and they want the best for the country, et cetera, right? But then when they come out the house, it's like they was never there. You know, they don't care about the country anymore. You know what I mean? They don't talk about what's going on in the country anymore. They don't challenge the people who are in leadership. You know, like right now, like how you were saying asking the questions that you were asking, right? Like, I mean, you know, it would be good if we had former representatives who used to be in the house, who are out the house today, but still could fight for the people's rights and fight for the best interest of the country without the desire to want to be reelected. If you understand the point I'm making to you.
I do, except let me say that, mind you, maybe more farmers could be involved, but you will rarely see that from former heads of government, though.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All over the world.
Yes,
they
sir,
tend
yes,
to...
Yes, sir. Mr. Lang, I understand it. It's a common thing. I mean, like I said before,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't saying that it's exclusive to this country, right? But I'm just trying to say that it's something that I find to be peculiar, something I find to be interesting because, you know,
it's not peculiar because the reality is it can be in ways disruptive and divisive. You already have sitting opposition members of parliament. You have an opposition.
But Mr. Lang, but I mean, like, you say you were asking the question just now about the funds, right? Right?
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
I'm
like,
asking
you know,
I'm asking that as a talk show host or not as a former man, because I could promise you if I was not a talk show host, my commentary on matters would be more limited though.
Yeah,
and that doesn't mean I don't love the country.
Yeah, but I mean
that doesn't mean I don't love the country. You can't take people's silence on something as not loving the country. They make decisions sometimes based on what they understand to be the norms and protocols of their environment.
Like they say, silence gives consent, Mr. Lang, and then they say,
that's not true though. That they may say that, but they say that in the context of something where somebody might be able to speak a truth about a incident or something that has happened, or people are asked a question about whether they support or don't support something, and if they remain silent, then they say, well, in this instance, since you didn't give a vote against, your silence is a consent.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't mean every time you're silent, you're giving consent to something. Every time you don't hear me say something, that means that I'm giving consent to it. That's not true.
No, yes, sir. But like you said, if you have some type of knowledge on it, you know what I mean? Like if you have some kind of understanding on what's going on, like if you know, like you said, you know, if you have some kind of, and you're silent, then yeah, like they say, evil continues when good men do nothing. You know, so
yeah,
I mean,
you.
Like if we
I,
just,
I got you.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. But so, but earlier, Mr. Lang, when you were talking about the violence and different things like that, there was a time when you had a show and you were talking about it before too, and I had contributed on the media's role in terms of the type of music and different things that the people listen to nowadays, right? And like, I want to add to that a little bit too. Like, if you, because I mean, it there's so much that can be said as it relates to this subject, like in this topic, right? But I just want to put things like people could think about certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, Mr. Lang, when certain things were only attributed to certain people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like tattoos, right? And one time ago, only sailors, and they said prostitutes used to have tattoos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, mm-hmm. tattoos is a trend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
mm-hmm.
kind of way everyone wants some tattoos. And I mean, like, I find it to be odd because it used to be something that used to be seen as a negative thing, but now it's something that's become a popular thing. It used to be taboo, but now it's not. But when I look at it too, Mr. Lang, it's like the tattoo comes with attitude.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it has attributes attached to it. You know the kind of way? Because like when you look in the society now, you see a bunch of drunkards, like a bunch of sailors. You know what I mean? Sailors have the slack mouth, saying anything they want, no respect for nothing. Right, and as it relates to the female part, the prostitute part. I mean, when you look around, all the women, you can't tell who is who. Like you can't tell who is a prostitute or who ain't a prostitute when the females dress up to go to a party. You understand? I come from Mr. Lang.
I'm listening to you.
Yes,
bro.
Sir. Yes, sir. So I mean, it's like so. We. I mean, and for me, I look around the world, right? And I noticed that not every place in the world like you. Not everywhere in the world have the same societies. As you go, certain places in the world and certain things you do here, you get locked up for. Right? And if you go to Dubai and do certain things in Dubai, you get locked up.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out like where is like who in our society, like I mean I'm talking about like the individuals in charge, you know what I mean? Like who's observing the society to say, you know what? This is what we need to put a check on. You know what I mean? this is what we need to stop doing, or we need to start to prohibit this.
But you have all kind of people in the society who are observing and who may be commenting and who may even be making moves to try to change things. Is that not why there are advocates for marital rape? Is that not why there are advocates for violence against women and girls, or why there are men advocating for more support for men, or people who observe the rise in prostate cancer, breast cancer, and they're advocating for that and so forth. So we have lots of people advocating for things.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lang. Yeah, without a doubt, Mr. Lang, you have positive individuals in society, like, you know, non-government organizations and different individuals who see the need
In government too. That's why they announced assembly passing laws.
But what I'm trying to say, Mr. Lang, is where is our legislative people?
That's my point, though. I'm saying they in the House of Assembly passing laws, though.
I don't want to get into the passing law thing, but what I'm going to say, Mr. Lang, is
But you don't get to do that. You have to get into it because you say we're the legislators, and I say every week we get to feature legislators in the House of Assembly passing laws.
Yes, sir.
But
Mr. Lang, my question, though, is, like, where are the individuals, though, who, like, monitor, right?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think they are passing laws? You can only be passing laws, changing laws, if you're monitoring something.
Mr. Lang, okay, you ask me why they passing laws, right? Okay, the laws that they are passing, right? Do the laws that they are passing, do they affect the areas that we are talking about right now?
First of all, you just talked about women and people wearing tattoo.
Yes, sir.
Brother, let me explain. Let me tell you something. There's not a possible chance on planet Earth dealing with people with tattoo would be on my list of anything to deal with in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Oh, no, Mr. Lang, no, I'm not talking about no tattoo. I mean, if people want tattoo,
But those are the things you mentioned, though.
Mr. Lang, I was trying to show you, because you were with me when I was telling you that something that used to be negative is now positive.
No, I understand that, but okay,
right?
Listen, I don't have a lot of time. I don't want to take up too much more time. Let me ask you, tell me some of the areas you would like your lawmakers to be looking at.
All right. All right. For example, I feel as if certain things that are left up to the citizen to take on for themselves, like even certain simple things like what they call might be civil disagreements. Right, I think
Civil disagreements are dealt with in the courts of the Bahamas.
I didn't really get into the thing with the violence, but let me put it like this. In certain countries, they have morality police. Right, I think we need to have something like that here.
Okay, I got you, bro. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. I really do. Thank you. We got to go. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Langios. We got to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Get ready to jingle all the way to Christmas with Fidelity's festive giveaway, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Apply for a loan or open an ASU savings account for a chance to win big. Visit any of our branches for more details. Terms and conditions apply.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, I'm right here. How are you?
Much time, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time, okay?
No problem.
If you would allow me, I just want to talk a little bit about what's going on as it relates to crime.
Yes, go ahead.
Now,
ahead, please.
Okay, now I know we had quite a few Minister of National Security, as I should remember. I think we had Tommy was there, Bernard Norris was there, and we had Marvin Dames, and now we have the Honorable Wayne Monroe, right? And based on all the above names that I call, I have never seen none so more relaxed like the one we have now, you know? I don't know what would that mean, you know, what message is that sending to the public and the criminals, you know, because I don't see, I mean, some might be happening behind the scenes, but as it looks to me with my eyes, I don't feel like anything much are happening, you know, when murder takes place, like for example, the ones that took place yesterday, that was in my community, you know, and the police come and they'll say the same thing, you know, and then it's like they're just waiting for this circle to just keep repeating and repeating, and it's like, it's not enough. Well, it's something, well, it's not enough.
Well, how, if they, like, what kind of ways could they behave or act that would make you feel better about the situation? Like, tell me, what would you like to see them?
Okay, the former Minister of National Security, they were putting pressure on them, heat, okay? When you see these murders happen, because they never stop. We just don't talk about it like that no more. Like, it becomes norm to us, and it's not something we so surprised, shocked, and, you know, they'll come on the news, or they'll come to the you know, they'll come out to the public and start to say things like, look here, what's happening, be aware of it, we're going to start to go in the house of the family and put down some kind of rules, or we're going to put out something they'll say. You don't hear nothing.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't hear nothing. All you hear in the police, but come to the public if you know something. Parents, this, and, you know, we need more. Come on, we need more, okay? Because guess what? That incident, pardon me?
No, I said that's interesting. You like the, you like the them being on top of it to
yes,
speak about it.
It's like they get a hold of it. They're just sitting back saying, oh, let them kill one another. Oh, but they can't. Because when those guys came through my community last night, any person could have been in the way. They didn't have to been who they was looking for. So we got to get out of this, these person just killing out one another. You know, that's not so. A lot of bystanders, innocent persons are in the way, and they could be the target. So But we need to see some things happening, man, because crime never stops. It's continuously going on, and it's like if we're doing something, we ain't doing something. The other day you hear on the news the man saying he's trying to provoke his bail. He don't want to come out. You ever hear nonsense like that when the prisoner is afraid to come out of jail now? Then that's a problem. We can't fix it. If you can't fix it, then you got to move. If I'm on a job, Mr. Lang, and I am not performing to the standard, I am not, whoever my employer is, they're going to keep me there. What you going to have me there for, like a dead weight? This is obvious. So
you think the government could fix murdering?
I said they could fix it, but they could do what you mean, so they can't fix it.
I'm asking you. Do you think the government could create a situation in which there's no or much, much less murders than we have?
I feel like there's something that can be done, Mr. Lang, because if you just throw your hand up in the air, what's to happen to people like me and you? I could have been driving through Nichols Court last night. What happened when they were boop, 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 and what? What happened? My children could have been in that area. What happens there? You telling me you can't fix it? Nothing could happen? Just leave them out to kill up one another? That's what you're saying now?
So you got to be able to do something. You got to be able to do something. Before oppositions become governments, all of them, they talk hard about crime and the government for crime and so forth, right? Yeah.
We used to boil up Dr. Bernard Norris. I don't think anybody had a... no one else they cut it like him. I could remember that. They had meetings upon... You remember that, Mr. Lai?
Let's put it like this. I remember distinctly how Christy Dawes criticized the Ingram administration for crime. Because remember all the murders were happening. Then I distinctly remember when Mr. Norris became minister. Murders continued. Mr. Norris
continued to happen.
Is a community solution required. And then he got beat up. And then after he got beat up, Turnquest came in. And Turnquest said the same thing. Bernard Norris said, it's a community something. And then he got beat up. So you're right.
We got to do something, Mr. Lang, on a serious note. Yeah. We can, because when you travel into a country, the first thing you look at is your crime rate, right? And if you start to see all these crime taking place in the Bahamas, you ain't telling me that ain't gonna touch tourism. It will one day. And that's when they're going to step in. I think we got to fix this, man. Because all these persons who... I think we got to fix it, man. Because that's the family grieving tonight over... You know, I'm not blaming the government for it. But they're responsible to make sure that we are safe and to put things in place. Like the last caller who was talking to you a while ago, that's exactly what he was alluding to. They got to fix it.
I like what you said.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're there to fix it. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Wow, that's real. That's real. Think about it. Can be? Wouldn't it be marvelous if we got murders down to like almost nothing? Wouldn't that be marvelous? Now, you all know some things would have to happen to make yourself less comfortable than you probably are. Can that happen? But wouldn't that be marvelous? To be able to go through the year and say, man, you know, we had no murders this year. Maybe a two or three. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Can a government really do that? Can a government really achieve that? It'd be interesting to ask the government if they believe they could achieve that. Minister, you think that's possible? You think it's possible for us to do that, Minister? Opposition, who wants to be the government? You think it's possible to do that? You really think so? And if you think so, how might you try to make that happen? So let's take that on as a project. Murdering. Take that on as a national project. This lady is on to something. Take it on as a national project. And you want support from voters? Bring the murder rate down. Bring it down. Government, minister, national commissioner, bring it down. Can you bring it down? Can we actually bring it down? Are we brilliant, bright, creative, industrious enough to bring murder down? Can we do that? Others have. Others have. Now, mind you, the measures they have taken to do it have been something. But do you want it now? Do you want to stop the killings? No matter if these people are known to you or not. You don't want them to kill. You don't want a situation where a fella says, first of all, but a fella says, he don't give me bail, because if you give me bail, I can die. But how about a situation in which you ain't need bail because you ain't killing nobody, so no problem. Can we actually do that? Does anybody believe we can actually do that? Starting with the government now, the leadership. The lady said, well, if you can't fix it, if you got to just throw your hand up, what I got you there for? Can we fix it? Now, let me tell you all something. I know when murder rate went up on the Ingram. Man, I'm dead, I. Because Ingram had a meeting with the commissioner of police. Some of it was with us. Some of us, it was with not with us. I can tell you one thing. The murder rate gone down. It went down. It went down. It did go down. This is in the 90s. You got to ask the commissioner what he do. I don't know what he did. But the murder rate went down. So now we're getting some recommendations from the populace. Yeah, whatever it takes. If there's a way, find a way. But I can tell you one thing, maybe some of the ways requires us to curb some things, and maybe we don't want to curb them things. If this Texas, we could get murders down, follow Cuba. No one want go through that. The citizens would freak out. Yeah? Well, does you want it down? Do you want murders down? Do you want it down? If you want it down, let me ask you a question. How many murders we had during the pandemic? Anybody remember how many murders we had during the pandemic? Not a lot, eh? Someone say curfews. Okay. Someone say about three murders during the pandemic. Well, what was so special about the pandemic that you only could commit three murders? You was an unlawful person. You are an unlawful person. You don't care about killing people and so forth. Why did the pandemic stop people from killing people? Think about it. See, about the young 17-year-old that was raped, Mr. Langley's children are smart enough to sneak a smartphone. Oh, that's an old text, sorry. So you're spot on, Mr. Lang. We should take the same approach to rapes and sexual assaults also. The statistics of rape, sexual assault is unacceptable. Yeah. So the lockdown was what made the difference. But how could a lockdown keep a person willing to commit murder from murdering? That they can say that the government says no, don't move, no, don't go nowhere, and I can listen to that if I want to kill somebody. How come the lockdown did that? We might be getting somewhere. How did the lockdown accomplish that? What was there about a lockdown that prevented? What, nobody was warring during the lockdown? Maybe that was it. Nobody was warring, or the warring people decided, no man, I don't want to get COVID, so I'm going to stay inside my house. What was it about the lockdown that prevented murder from happening that way? Say police were everywhere monitoring. Say it again. So you are basically a police state. You are a police state. And lots less people were on the road. And so forth. Less interaction was taking place. See what I said? But you didn't like that. You didn't like the pandemic situation, though, curbing your movement and your thing. So, is that what you want? Say exactly, police was everywhere. But the police were everywhere, but the police only could be everywhere because most of us were in our homes. See, if you have everybody out and about, the police cannot be everywhere because they got to police all the population. But if most of the population is in their homes, the police can, they weren't everywhere. They just were able to police better because they had a smaller population to police because a smaller population was moving about the streets. Don't miss that. Now, when you decide you want to be up and about, And nobody tell you what time to go to your bed and when to go to your house, and nobody tell you where you could go. Can the police be everywhere? The police could never be everywhere. They can never be, but they were able to police more effectively because a smaller population was at large. But you're getting somewhere. You're getting somewhere. Listen, can we do that? Can we really bring murders down? Say, also down under my good cousin Dames. Yeah, let me tell you something about Marvin Dames. First of all, murders don't happen like that in Grandmama, too. Y'all just remember that. Not even in as a percentage of the population Grandmama is to the overall population, murders in Grandmama don't happen like that. Y'all need to talk about what happens in Grandmama, why they are like that, and this place is a more economically depressed place than New Providence. Don't tell me it's because they have larger population. No, per capita, Grandmama's murder rate is not comparable to that of New Providence. Why? Not Marvin Dames? I can tell y'all one thing, boy. He's a policeman. Say they had the arcades up checking all the cars, remember? Yeah, but fewer cars were on the road, though. You have to remember that. Fewer cars because we were home. We had to stay home. Remember, we were curtailed. Anyway, we could try to continue this conversation another time. God bless y'all. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God's best life. Take care. Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.